It wasn't all that long ago that people admired men of integrity. People whom you could count on to be honest, to act honestly, even if it was to their disadvantage. One of the things that has stayed with me for years now, and I've mentioned this story a couple of times, it was actually back in 1999. So about 5 years after I moved here, a prisoner had escaped from Nebraska jails, and the papers were tracking his movements as he went through the state. He robbed people, he was killing policemen, and he still managed to escape. That is until he came to Wyoming, where a man and his son found him on their ranch. The man managed to keep the man distracted while his son went into another building and called the police. What stayed with me all these years was the man's concern that he wasn't perhaps quite honest with the murderer when he told him to come in and then had the police called without the man's knowledge. He knew he was dealing with an escaped murderer. It was all through the papers. He knew what he was dealing with. But he still wanted to be honest in how he dealt with him. I find that fascinating, that that was the first thing and the thing that concerned him most. Did he deal with the man honestly? In Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12 and in verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. It doesn't matter how other people treat you. You are to do the right things, the honorable things for other people. As Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, so you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, whom you appear as lights in the world. Where to stand out like lights? The rest of the world tends to be dishonest. Well, we're lights in a dark night. We do this by being blameless. We do this by being without reproach, without people looking down on us. You know, one of the things with that story that I started out with, you know, there was quite a big reward for the capture of this particular escaped prisoner. You know, a lot of people end up lying when money is involved. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. And in verse 14. Where someone says, bad, bad, says the buyer. But when he goes away, then he boasts. You know, somebody wants a bargain. So they'll tell a lie about how awful this product is, hoping they'll be giving a discount, but it's just for the money. But any gain that we gain by lying is fleeting at best. Take a look at Proverbs 21 and in verse 6. It says, the acquisition of treasures by lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. It doesn't last. There's so many examples of this in the scriptures. For example, Jezebel wanted Naboth's lands for her husband. So she had men lie about Naboth. In 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings 21. And starting with verse 5. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, how is it that your spirit is so sullen that you're not eating food? So he said to her, because I have spoken to Naboth the Jezreelite, and said to him, give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I'll give you a vineyard in his place. But he said, I will not give you my vineyard. Jezebel, his wife, said to him, do you now reign over Israel? Rise, eat bread, and let your heart be joyful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his own seal, and sent letters to the elders and to the nobles who were living with Naboth in his city. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and seat Naboth at the head of the people, and seat two worthless men before him, and let them testify against him, saying, you have cursed God and the king, then take him out and stone him to death. And so the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in the city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as is written in the letters which she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the people. Then two worthless men came in and sat before him, and the worthless men testified against him, even against Naboth before the people, saying, Naboth cursed God and the king. And so they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. Notice the type of men that Jezebel wanted to hire to do her dirty work. Worthless men. Men without any integrity. Men who would say anything for money. Judas has a horrible reputation. Judas Iscariot. In John chapter 12. And again, it's involving lying where money is involved. In John chapter 12, and starting with verse 4, it says, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box. And he used to pilfer what was put into it. He sounds like he has all this concern about poor people. All he was wanting was access to money. Another famous couple is Ananias and Sapphira. We had a preacher here, Brother Works, who pointed this out. It's interesting, the Old Testament starts out with the death after the law is given. It starts out with the death of Nadab and Abihu for profaning God. The New Testament starts out also with the death of two people after it starts out. This time, though, it's about lying. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1, it says, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself. With his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard it. The young men got up and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. Now there elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And immediately she fell at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard these things. Now what? There's nothing wrong with selling land or giving a portion of the proceeds to the church. That's not what was the matter here. Ananias and Sapphira wanted the glory their brethren were gaining, which is mentioned in chapter 4. for doing what they did not do. There were other brethren selling their land and giving the full price to the church. So when they sold their land, they kept part of the money, but then claimed that was the full price that they had given to the church. They wanted the glory. They wanted the respect. But they tried gaining it by doing something that was disrespectful and was dishonest. You know, the world is engaged in dishonesty. And sometimes we pick up practices we shouldn't do. This is tax season. Are we honest on our tax returns? If a store clerk handed you too much change, would you give it back? Do you call in sick when you weren't really because you wanted a day off? Think about all the ways that we say, oh, it really doesn't matter that much. But what about our honesty? What about our integrity? In the church, servants, later we call them deacons, were selected, and the reason, the basis of their selection was their reputation. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, therefore, brethren, select among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. Later on, there was a collection made for the poor in Judea because of a famine. And money was gathered up in Macedonia and also in Achaia. And in the letter of 2 Corinthians, Paul mentions a little fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, it says, for we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. We have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, and now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. And as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker with you. And as for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and the reason for our boasting in you. Paul's listing out all these people that are going to carry the funds. He asked the church there, should have actually started back in verse 18. He says, we have sent along with him the brother whose fame of the things of the gospel has sent and spread through all the churches. And not only this, he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and show our readiness, taking precaution so that no one will discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. If anybody you want to pick to carry funds across the world, I would think Apostle Paul would be a man of integrity and one you could trust. But Paul insisted that the church pick people from their own number, men that they trusted to carry that money, and Paul was going with them. Why? It goes back again to what he said in verse 21, for we have regard what is honorable, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of men. Doing things, not just saying, hey, I know this is right, but also doing things such that other people know you're doing what's right. We not only do the right thing, we also do it in such a way that others will see that we are doing the right thing. When we selected out elders, one of the qualifications of elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2. In fact, the very first qualification mentioned says an overseer then must be above reproach. The reputation is important. It's not something that person starts when he becomes an elder. It's the way he's lived his life. And we need to be people of integrity. Because the God we serve is a God of truth. Over in Psalms 31. Psalms 31 and in verse 5. It says, "Into your hands I have committed my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth." Jesus also, when he stated who he was and his purpose, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." God is a God of truth. Jesus is the truth. And as he pointed out also in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." God is the God of truth. What he speaks is always true. That's the God we follow. That's the type of people we need to exemplify to reflect glory on our God. Now, at times we'll have to make difficult decisions. And if we follow the path of integrity, the choices are then more limited. We don't have as much flexibility. But you know what? If we follow God, then life gets simpler because we don't have as many choices. We do what is right. In Proverbs 11, and in verse 3, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them." I might have difficult decisions, but one of the things I ought to say is, what's the right thing to do? And once I start asking that question, then the choices become easier. You know, Judas, we mentioned before, he got caught up in his sins. He practiced deception most of his life. He lied a lot. But take a look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 21. "As they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me.' Being deeply grieved, each one began to say to him, 'Surely not I, Lord.' And he answered, 'He who dipped his hand with me into the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as is written of him, but woe to that man whom the Son of Man has betrayed. It would have been good for that man had he not been born.' And Judas, who was betraying him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' Jesus said to him, 'You have said it yourself.'" Even when caught, even when exposed, Judas still tried to lie, to cover it up. Judas knew what he had planned. Just imagine the audacity to lie to the Son of God, the God of truth, just so he can get thought he could get away with it. He didn't. But that's the problem with lying. You end up not only lying to other people, you end up lying to yourself. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, it says, "But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you learn and become convinced of, knowing from which you have learned them." When we stand by integrity, God's behind us. God will uphold us. God will support us in the things that we must do. In Psalms 41. Psalms 41 and verse 12. "As for me, you uphold me in my integrity, and you set me in your presence forever." Sure, we might not make as much as somebody who is willing to lie to get as much money as he can. But you know what? It's better off to be poor than to be dishonest. In Proverbs chapter 26, or start 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. If we're going to influence the world, and we talk about how our society is changing and how it's getting corrupted, and we're talking about as we proceed through this year, that we need to be fruitful Christians for God. A part of our fruit that we need to display is that of integrity and honesty. We need that honesty in order to influence the world. Corruption and lying don't disappear by continuing corruption and lying. Someone not only has to say it's wrong, but someone needs to show that you can live without lying. I remember in my grade school days, there was some assignment or something like that. See if you can go a whole day without lying. I considered that normal. I think I was the only one who said that they managed. Maybe they were actually being honest. But unfortunately, they were honest about lying. We can live without having to tell lies. And the lives that we live, at the best, they influence our own children. Take a look at Proverbs 20. And in verse 7, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. They have an example to follow after. They see what kind of life you actually can have. Over in Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and in verse 26. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. It's not just our family. We also influence the people around us, the people we come in contact with. Again, we show people you can live this way. Back in the Old Testament, one of the judges, who was also a prophetess, her name was Deborah. And in Judges chapter 5, and in verse 31, is the ending of her prayer that she makes. She says, thus let your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in his might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Let the righteous be like the rising sun. We're supposed to shine out. We're supposed to be lights in this wicked world. In fact, Jesus said we are lights of that world in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Are you letting your light shine? Are you being different from the world? Are you being honest? Do you live a life of integrity? That's what God calls for us. And you're not a child of God yet, then there's time right now to put on Christ, to join the ranks of those who are living for Christ. And for those who are children of God, would like to pray as your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's selected.